So it's a joy to meet you guys. My name is Greg, and I'm originally from Virginia. I live now in Yankee Land up there north of Pittsburgh. And a couple months ago, Pastor Hans called me and says, "Yo, dude." It's how we talk. We've been friends a long time. "What are you doing the first Sunday of December, dude?" I said, "Man, I'm home." "No, you're not. You're going to be in Elizabeth City." I said, "Okay, what's up?" He goes, "I'm going to Israel. And we're in between worship leaders right now. Can you come lead worship and preach and just take care of the church? Because I know if you'll come, I'll have a church to come to when I get back." So I'm here. And so it's a joy to meet you guys. My name is Greg, and I've been here many, many times and look forward to being here more in the future and get to know you better. I have a wife and four kids, and I know I don't look it. I'm 45 years old, and I'm still looking fairly young. Well, I know my hair's walking backwards. Oh, I just returned from Ukraine, and I've been working in Ukraine in Russia for over 20 years, and I speak Russian fluently and can preach in Russian this morning, but somebody's going to have to interpret. Kyle, you up for that? No, okay. And I was just there last month, and I was getting a haircut, and the girl that's been cutting my hair for 20 years goes, of course, it's all in Russian. She goes, "Greg, your hair is walking backwards. I'm losing it. I don't see it." And she keeps cutting my hair, and finally she goes, "Greg, I just found your hair." I said, "Where is it?" She goes, "It's in your ears." So I have joined the select few that our hair moves from our head to our ears. Hallelujah. What a beautiful morning. It's the first Sunday of December, and of course we're entering into the Christmas season. We just left the Thanksgiving season. I'm very thankful we have left Thanksgiving, because not only does that mean Christmas is coming, but it means that Black Friday is over. I hate that day with a passion, because all the hypocritical Christian folk, myself included, sit around on Thanksgiving and eat turkey and stuffing, and we are thankful to the Lord for his bounty and his supply, and we're so thankful and we're so spiritual, and it's such a beautiful atmosphere. And then just a couple of hours later, we go to the stores and act like we're full of the devil as we are trying to beat others to the deal, yanking people off of shelves so that we can get that $14.95 iPod. So I'm happy when that's over and Christmas is coming. So this Sunday marks the first Sunday of December, and we get into the Christmas season. And for that reason, I'm going to be speaking to you this morning pastorally out of the book of Luke. And of course, if you were to guess, you'll know it's going to be Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. My family has a tradition every Christmas morning. We read Luke chapter 2, and we have our prayer. And then going back to my grandfather's tradition, what we would do is we would have our Christmas reading story and our prayer in the other room, and then we would form a train from the oldest to the youngest and choo-choo to the tree. Yeah, we got some issues. Luke chapter 2. This morning I'm going to read from verses 25 to 35. I'm going to be reading to you from the New King James Version. If you're there, wave at me. We're here, Luke chapter 2. Okay, praise the Lord. Verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Everyone say Simeon. "And this man was just and devout." Say just and devout. "Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, waiting for the consolation of Israel means that he was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for baby Jesus. Verse 27, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want you to tap your neighbor to your left and tell them these three words. Wait for it. Now, let's tap your neighbor on the right. Remind them, wait for it. In this story that I just read to you out of the book of Luke, this famous passage that's quite often preached during the Christmas time, we usually study it during the Advent, the Christmas season. But this morning, I want to pull that Christmas story and let's look at it from a different direction. If we were to make a movie out of the birth of Christ, which of course has been done many, many times, I want this morning to take you inside the life of a character who does not get much billing. In fact, if we were the director or the producer of this film that we were to make, most of us would consider him simply to be an extra. In fact, if he did not have a small speaking part that we read about here in Luke chapter 2, then most likely his name would not even show up. You see, this brother, Simeon, he's not as well known as the shepherds. He's not as well known as the angels or the wise men. To be quite honest, he's not even as well known as the cows and the donkeys and the sheep that we place around the manger scene in our Christmas program, of which I will remind you that you have a children's Christmas program tonight. What time is that? At 6. I encourage all of you to come and see if Simeon is in it. I doubt it. Although I've given enough notice, Simeon may walk across the stage tonight. Now, in regard to Simeon, no Christmas carol catches his name. It's not We Simeon of Orient Are. It's We Three Kings of Orient Are. No child has ever been cast as Simeon, most likely. In fact, I'd almost guarantee it, in the church Christmas program. There are only 10 verses that are dedicated to this guy. And he's only mentioned in one book of the Bible, here found in Luke chapter 2. He comes on the scene so quickly and it departs in such a quick manner that it would be very easy to overlook him as simply a minor character. But I want to suggest to you this morning and over the next 25 or 30 minutes, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation and understanding to us that to dismiss Simeon as a minor character would be a major mistake. Simeon brings to us a powerful message that is not only needed during the Christmas season, but actually it is needed in our lives 24/7. Very powerful and profound message. You see, we meet Simeon some 40 days after the birth of Christ. If you ask, how do you know it's 40 days? The Bible doesn't tell us that. I suggest to you that the Bible does tell us that. Because clearly the Bible states, according to Levitical law, found in Leviticus chapter 12, that after a woman had given birth to a child due to childbirth, she was deemed unclean, and it took 40 days for her to be deemed clean and allowed the opportunity to re-enter Israelite society. Hey, that's pretty good, because I do a lot of work in Tanzania. That's 40 days. I know a lot of you think, man, I'm glad it ain't like that here. 40 days, mom will be gone. Where would she be? Sitting on the outside of the city up against the gate. That's a good place, right? No, that's dumb. Although I can't really talk about that's Leviticus, so I'd better be careful. In Tanzania, where I work, when a woman gives birth, and I've been in the bush with them, they put her inside a mud hut, and she's not allowed to come out of the hut for 6 months. There are ladies right now, as you were sitting on your padded chair in your nice warm building, sitting up in a mud hut, in Tanzania with their little newborn. I mean, not even allowed to come out. Toilet, no, bat, nothing. Stuck. So 40 days, not bad. I prefer our setup. Now they get you in the hospital and you're home before the baby's even born. Now, we also know it's 40 days because after 40 days, if it was a male child, according to Exodus 13, he was to be brought and presented unto God at the temple in Jerusalem. So in obedience in this passage that we're reading, Mary and Joseph are simply obeying the word of God, and they are bringing baby Jesus up to the temple to be dedicated. During this journey is where they encounter at the temple brother Simeon. Everyone say Simeon. We don't want to forget this guy. We do not know very much about Simeon. There's not much on his resume. We do know a few things. The scripture says that he is devout. The scripture says that he is just. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit is upon him. The scripture says that he was spoken to by the Holy Spirit. He had received revelation and he was obeying the Holy Spirit. Now, we do not know where he works. We do not know what degree he has. We do not know where or how much income he earns. We don't know those things about his life. All we know is that he is devout, just, filled with the Holy Spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit, and waiting for Jesus to show up. If I could pause there just for a moment, I would like to suggest to you that no matter what is going on in your life and what you're facing, if you can put on your resume that you are devout, just, filled with the Holy Ghost, listening to the voice of God, and waiting for Jesus to show up, you're doing okay. That's not bad. So from the moment that Simeon had received this revelation that he would see the baby Jesus until that encounter happens on this day when Mary and Joseph bring the baby to the temple, Simeon is doing one thing. He's waiting. Tap your neighbor one more time and tell them, wait for it. Dear friends, that's the message this morning. On December the 3rd, 2017, at Fountain of Life Church, Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Wait for it. It's a great example for us today. I suggest to you this morning that if you are going to walk with God, then you better learn how to wait on God. Now, I know that does not settle too well in our system. We all think, believe, hope that God just has a now button. You say your prayer, and now it happens. You pray for that pink Cadillac. Hit now. Go out in the driveway, and that pink Cadillac's there. Listen, you want a pink Cadillac? Join Mary Kay. You sell enough mascara, you'll get a pink Cadillac. God doesn't operate like that. We think of God in forms of the commercial, like on television, the television. Right? I know as soon as Pastor Hans, that dude was all right, but I think he said hell in church. Yeah, it's the television. I watched the Andy Griffith Show. Okay? And I watch Hogan's Heroes. That's it. Don't mess with Barney. The rest of it can go on away. Don't mess with Barney. We think sometimes, like those television commercials we see from Staples, the easy button. That's the way we just pray, hit the button. Pray, hit the button. We think that God just has some easy button that we can just pray and hit the button. You got to wait for it sometimes. You see, God doesn't always work in the right now. God doesn't always work in the immediately. We must learn to wait on God because many times God, in all of his sovereignty, his omnipotence, his omniscience. He causes a divine delay in his plan for our lives. Many times God presses the pause button between speaking and showing. All you got to do is read the Bible. Abraham and Sarah had to wait for Isaac. Noah, the brother who saved humanity, as few as it would be, once he had made it through the madness of the flood, he still had to wait before he could open the doors until the bird would bring back the branch so it could confirm that it was okay to get out of the boat. Joseph, Genesis 37 to 50, had to wait for years and years for the fulfillment of his dreams and for him to come to power and him also to be a world saver. In fact, Jesus even had to wait. He told his mother, "Ma, my time has not yet come. You got to wait for it, Mom." Mary and Martha had to wait for the arrival of Jesus for Lazarus. And they were fretted. "Well, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." You know, Scripture doesn't record everything that happened. The Scripture says if there was, there wouldn't be books enough to contain it. I imagine right there Jesus dropped it on them. "And Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I imagine Jesus' answer may have been something like this. "Listen to me. I could have come and healed him from his sickness, but because I waited, I'm going to raise him from the dead." What do you think was the bigger testimony? You got to wait for it. I think we read in Acts 2 that the disciples had to wait until they were endued with power from on high. You see, today in 2017, we wait on God as believers to turn things around in our lives. We wait on God to work all things together for our good. We wait on God to take those things that were meant for evil and use it to bless us. We wait on God to answer prayers. We wait on God to bring back prodigal children. We wait on God to restore finances. We wait on God to heal broken bodies. We wait on God to open doors and make a way where there was no way. Sometimes you gotta wait for it. If you've ever had to wait on something for the Lord, just wave at me this morning. Oh, good, we got a whole bunch of waiters up in here. You know what the problem is? We do not like to wait. I was hunting a few weeks ago in Virginia. And if you're here for PETA, people for the ethical treatment of animals, I just set you at ease. When that bullet hit him, it was ethical and quick. We personally here at Fountain of Life are high members of PETA. People eating tasty animals. That's what PETA we're a member of. Hallelujah. I had just returned from Ukraine. It was time for my annual hunting trip with my cousins. My cousin's name is Ricky, but we call him the Rabbit. All my cousins have names. He's 66 years old. I'm 45. We've been hunting since I was 9 together. We're partners. We've hunted all over. In fact, when I was here for the Soul Hunters, I probably told a rabbit story. I don't know. We're just some hunting machines. We were on our hunting trip, and we were going out one afternoon to go hunting, and we were leaving. We're in Farmville, Virginia, and we're heading out to the country to one of the farms that the guys we hunt with owns. I mean, all private food plots, the whole 9 yards. No, you can't come. And it was beautiful. Pastor Allen's trying to come. He's working on it. I'm going to get him up there. So as we're going out to go hunting, I told my cousin Rabbit, "Rabbit, pull into the McDonald's." He said, "Roadkill, we ain't got time for that." My name's Roadkill. You may ask, how did you get the name Roadkill? It's very easy. I was 19 years old. I had a 1984 Cutlass Sierra with velour interior. And I was going hunting When I was living in Richmond, driving up to Buckingham, going hunting. 6-point buck ran out in front of me, and I ran over him. Not on purpose, although he was decent. He dragged my car down off the ditch, called my cousins. They came. We took the deer. We put him on the hood. We duct taped him to my hood. They yanked me out of the ditch, and we went hunting. I was forever that day christened as roadkill. It's time to hunt. It's time to hunt. My mother was upset. You didn't call the insurance? I said, he works tomorrow. I'm hunting today. I said, rabbit, pull into the McDonald's. I want a peppermint mocha. Now, a 66-year-old redneck from the hills of Virginia, that don't fly. He looked at me and says, roadkill, we do not drink peppermint mochas. He said, you've been spending too much time on airplanes, too much time in California, and all these other crazy places you go to. We drink coffee black. So went on through the line. He ordered. He says, I'll take a large black coffee, and my strange cousin, Roadkill, will take a peppermint mocha. Pulled on up, paid the money for the coffee and the mocha, and the lady told him, could you pull up to the waiting parking space there? You're going to have to wait 3 or 4 minutes for the mocha. We have to make it, and it's special. He flipped. Now we got to wait for your peppermint mocha. Look at my black coffee. It's ready now. We got to wait for your peppermint mocha. So we go up there, we wait 4 minutes, and finally the little girl brings it out, passes it through the window, and the aroma goes by his nose. He goes, that don't smell too bad. I say, you want to taste it? He tasted it. I think next time we'll wait for the peppermint mocha. Now, I believe it's all divine planning to wait that 4 minutes, because it was just about an hour and a half later I dropped that 10-point buck. See, maybe if I'd gotten to the stand 4 minutes earlier, I'd have messed up. Are you hearing me? It was okay to wait for that peppermint mocha, because I got a big old buck that evening. We come out from hunting, and we got some Tennessee redneck boys that hunt with us. Well, golly, roadkill, we all getting peppermint mochas tomorrow. We are now the Peppermint Mocha Hunt Club. You see, we live in a fast-paced world, and we demand that technology make everything faster. They do not even offer dial-up internet anymore. Some of you old enough to know what I'm talking about? You were all pumped up in 1994. You got your phone line. Let me tell you, when 56K modem come out, we were bad to the bone, buddy. Dial that thing in. You're dialing up AOL. Ding, ding, ding. You're just waiting. That thing's connecting. And then your joy of the day was open the mail. You've got mail. Oh, I got an email. And then the picture would come. Ding. Ding. Listen, I'm going to go get a shower. I'll be back. Check the picture when I get back. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about? Now, everything's faster. There's no dial-up internet anymore. Everything's on fiber optic. I was boarding the plane to come down here. I was flying from Pittsburgh down to Atlanta. I was on a new 737-900 from Delta. And the first thing the flight attendant said, even before the safety check, was, we're so happy to announce that this is the newest plane out that Delta has, and we've got the newest, highest, fastest Wi-Fi out there for your surfing needs. Man, listen, surfing's all right. I want to land. But what is there? It's all about faster and faster and faster and faster. I guarantee you the next generation of Google is going to be faster. The next generation of Apple is going to be faster. And the next generation of Android is still going to be terrible. Y'all know what kind of phone I got, don't you? I like things to move quickly. And we don't even have 8-tracks anymore. Look at all you, if you're under 30, you're going, 8-tracks. Yeah, that's what we had in our 1972 Barracuda. That was a tape like this big. Stick it up in there. And you only like one song. And you know what the problem is on the 8-track? You got to wait for that thing to go all the way back around again just so you can hear the one song you like. Then when the CD, CD's not fast enough. They get scratched up, clipped up. Now everything's MP. That just hit the button. Beep, 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 beep. Man, and if you got to wait on Pandora and that commercial comes, you just get fried. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Why are we like this? I'm closing the first time. There'll be four. We are like this because time is precious to us. And unfortunately, we have been conditioned to equate waiting to wasting. When this happens, other W words creep into our hearts and our minds like wonder and worry. We begin to wonder if we really heard from God. We begin to wonder if His promises are really true. And then we begin to worry when we don't see things happening the way we think they ought to be happening. Because when you are having to wait, obviously something is not going according to plan. Some of you are already getting uncomfortable. In your mind, you go, oh, that preacher done lost his place. I didn't lose my place. I'm just showing you what about 8 seconds of waiting will do to you. Well, he's not talking. Something's wrong. Really? We are conditioned by a world, especially at this Christmas season, Thanksgiving season, that just tells us everything is right now. But I want to remind you this morning that we serve a God whose ways are above our ways and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And He says sometimes it's okay to wait. That is why Simeon is so important to us. He teaches us some life lessons on how to wait on God. If we were to ask Simeon this morning, Simeon, why are you waiting? He would simply answer this way. I am waiting because I received a word from God, and that word from God has not happened yet, so therefore His promise is still true, and I'm going to wait until it happens. How many of you have received a word at some point in your life that has not come to pass yet? Show me your hand. I got good news for you this morning. God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about the promises that He has given you. He has not fallen off His throne. He is not some other planet doing some other job and forgot about us earthlings. He knows exactly what He is doing. His word is true. His promises are true. And if He said He's going to do it, He will do it when He wants to do it at the right time, and it'll be perfect for you. Our God is good and our God is faithful. Now, you may be sitting here this morning and you're going, okay, well, that's cool on that one, but I don't have any words from God. Well, I would like to beg to differ. Open up your Bible, and there's a Bible chock full of words and promises over your life. We serve the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the salvation of mankind, the healer of sick bodies, the restorer of broken dreams. And you can grab hold of those promises today and wait, because He will bring them to pass. Well, sometimes you got to wait on it. You got to wait on it. We don't like to wait. God's not a liar. Let me repeat that. God is not a liar. His word is truth. See, if we go back and think about our Christmas program, there's a big difference between a lot of these characters and Simeon. Think about how God spoke to all the characters in our play. It's an angel that comes to Zechariah and tells him that Elizabeth, his wife, is going to become pregnant with the one, John the Baptist, who will be the forerunner of the Messiah. It was an angel. It was an angel that comes to Mary and informs her that she is going to become pregnant with the Messiah, with baby Jesus. It's an angel that speaks to Joseph in a dream and lets him know, hey, it don't look good, but trust me, your wife's done nothing wrong. The plan of God is unfolding. It's an angel that's filling the heavens. It speaks to the shepherds and says, boys, get to the barn. It's going down tonight. The king is here. It's an angel later that would speak to Joseph and say, hey, man, get out of Israel. Get to Egypt. It's a star hanging in the heavens for 2 years that leads these three wise men to come to the land that is holy and to discover the baby Jesus. It's John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth that confirms to Mary that the child she is carrying truly is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Everyone who finds out about the Christ in our program finds out through some other action. Except old Simeon. He had a direct line to the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's just devout, filled with the Holy Ghost, listening to the voice of God and looking for Jesus. I'm here to tell you something this morning. When you are looking for the promise of God to be fulfilled in your life and not complaining because it hasn't happened yet, and you are looking for it and standing in faith, it makes it a whole lot easier to be waiting for God to unfold his promises in your life. So many times we get so frustrated because we're in this modern world and we want everything right now, right now, right now. We get frustrated with the timing of God and then wonder why nothing's happening. And then we need some rockets in the heavens to bring us back to the heart of God. Old Simeon, I'm just waiting. That brother was a professional waiter. And he was happy about it. So here's the question of the day. Second closing. How many external confirmations does God have to give you and me before we're going to trust him and take him at his word? How many miracles does God have to perform so we're going to take him at his word? How many prayers have to be answered? How many bills have to be paid? How many cars have to be in the driveway? How much money has to be in the bank? What does God have to do to bring us to that point where we simply trust him? Two types of people running around today, of which you and I fall into a category of. One of them is we have to see it to believe it. Like old Thomas. Second category, well, let's just call them a bunch of Simeon folk. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I'll wait until it happens. I'll die waiting. Even though he slay me, I'm going to keep on waiting. Why? Because I trust him. May we this morning rise up strong and once again take God at his word and wait for him. May that spirit rise up in us. And even though it may not look good now, maybe the report is bad, I still believe he's my healer. Maybe I can open up that bank account and it doesn't look good, but I still know that he is my provider. I may be all bound up right now, but I still know that he is my deliverer. I may be without strength and I be weak and I may be down, but I know that he is the one that strengthens me and gives me provision. I may look right now that there's no way out. I'm trapped. I'm in a place, but I still believe that he is the one that brings me through. He's the one. Now on the flip side, closing the third time, it's very understandable why folks struggle with waiting. I've been there, done that. And occasionally it may hit me every once in a while again. It's not because they don't have faith. It's because sometimes we're lacking the revelation necessary. You see, we got faith that he's God. He's true. His word's true. Sometimes we need that small, still voice That little bit of revelation that brings a confirmation to your heart. Sometimes we got to know more than Genesis 1:1 and John 3:16. Sometimes we need to spend a little more time in His presence, spend a little more time in His Word, maybe do things that we wouldn't normally do, maybe get things out of our normal routine as our walk with Christ goes day by day by day, so that that comfort comes to us, that internal strength comes to us, that we know that we are hearing from God. Because we're hearing from God, we know that we can trust Him. Waiting is not easy. Most scholars and historians believe that Simeon was an older man and probably had received that revelation earlier in his life because he was talking about dying. And the brother had patiently waited for the appointed time. Now for you and I today, a short wait, very possible. The problem comes when we have to wait for an undefined duration. We know we're waiting for something good. Man, how long we gotta wait for it? When that happens, some ugly words begin to creep into our vocabulary. Words like doubt. Words like if. We begin to wonder and doubt if what we heard is really gonna happen. When that happens, we need to be careful because a big temptation comes. It's called Sinatra-itis. And that is to do it our way, our time, and tell the Lord to take a day off. It's happened before in history. Just ask Saul. He got upset, got tired of waiting for the prophet. Samuel was delayed. So Saul says, I'll do it my way. Performs a sacrifice, and he ends up losing the favor of God. Why? Because he wouldn't wait for it. Oh, Abraham, we talked about him a few minutes ago. He and Sarah were waiting on God for the promised child. But it took a little bit too long. And along come Hagar. Abraham, girl. Abraham couldn't wait any longer. Some of you here this morning have been waiting on God for certain things in your lives for a long time. I speak a blessing and an encouragement over you this day. It's okay to wait. Do not condemn yourself that you may think, I don't have enough faith. I've done something wrong. Maybe I've not heard from God. Maybe something needs to change in my life. No, maybe you just need to keep on waiting, because at the perfect time, God's going to unfold His promise and His Word over your life. It brings us to the final question. How long do we give God in our lives as believers? How long do we give Him before we fire Him? You see, the contract is starting to bother us a little bit. The contract's simple. I'm a sinner. I get saved. By confessing that Jesus is the Lord of my life, I confess my sins, I'm washed with the blood, I'm a new creation, all things are good. Once that happens, I'll start paying my tithes at Fountain of Life Church, because that's my church. I'm going to do according to the Word of God. We're going to pray for the sick, I'm going to get healed. And when I need a job, I'm going to pray for that, and I'm going to get a job. And then my whole family's going to get saved, my whole household. But things don't happen according to your timeline, and then we start to get frustrated about it. And the next thing you know, we begin to grow distant from God. And the next thing you know, we just unfired Him altogether. Because we did what we were supposed to do. We repented, and we become a part of the family of God. Why isn't God fulfilling His obligations? Well, He is. He's just doing it perfectly. Now, if you want the imperfect, do it your way. But if you want God's perfect plan and will, let's do it His way. His timing. It's okay to wait for God. So remind you of this. Old Simeon probably waited a long time. You know, he didn't get frustrated. While he was waiting, God was working. And you say, ho, 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 ho. We mean God's working. I think that's in the Bible. God is at work. He works all things together for our good. Last time I checked, he worked 6 days and then took a day off and looked at his work and said it was good. God works. Can I give you some insight this morning? I'm closing. God's not lazy. He's working. You see, for that day to happen where Simeon saw Jesus, what he had been waiting for to happen, God had to do a lot of work. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at it this way. God had made a promise to Simeon. You will not die before you see the baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Now, once that word is given, God goes, I got a whole lot of things to bring to pass to make that word come to pass. So what happened? Well, about 6.5 months before this day that Simeon has an encounter with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, 6.5 months before that, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, gets pregnant with the forerunner. And God knows he has to do that in Elizabeth to bring confirmation to Mary. Because Mary's going to have trouble believing what God's going to unload on her. So he's got to do something special in Elizabeth first. So John the Baptist happens. Now, Mary has to get impregnated in the right time so that all of this unfolds perfectly according to God's plan. The problem with that is Joseph is going to flip. So God has to do a work in the life of Joseph. He needs time for that. Now the next situation that happens is the baby's got to be born in Bethlehem, but that's a problem because they live in Nazareth. So God eases on up to Rome and starts messing with Caesar Augustus.
Hey.
A whole bunch of Jews down there, you lording over. They loaded. I think you need to drop a taxation on them. Let's do a good one and cause each family to go to their hometown. And let's get some money out of them. You know, we read that taxation and Luke 2, you read the Christmas story, you go, that sucker running them taxes back into. Guess what? It was the plan of God. We had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. While Simeon is waiting, God is working. Let me tell you how smart God is. 2,000 years before Simeon was promised, you will see the Messiah. Before you die, you will see the Savior of the world. Somehow during that time, 2,000 years ago, in the Torah, there was a Levitical law written that a woman after 40 days of childbirth could re-enter Israelite society. There was an additional law written that said, if you have a male child born at the 40th day, he must be taken to the temple in Jerusalem so he can be dedicated to God. While Simeon is waiting, God is working. On that 40th day, after the taxes have been done, after they had to return to their home city, after all the confirmations have been given, all this time that things are going on, Simeon every day is up in Jerusalem. He has no clue what's going on other than he received the word. But on that day, he's there. And Mary and Joseph come and bring the baby Jesus to dedicate. And Simeon is able to hold the baby in his arms and to see and experience the fulfillment of the promise of God. And then he says, God, I can now go and die in peace because your word has been brought to pass in my life. Dear friends, sometimes you gotta wait for it. It's okay to wait. Dear friends, if we were to ask old Simeon, Simeon, one last question for you this morning. While you were waiting for all this stuff to happen and God was working, what were you doing, man, to keep yourself occupied? It's pretty simple. Where do we find him? In the temple. He said, that's easy. While I was waiting and God was working, I just kept on worshiping. And at the right time, Jesus showed up. Dear friends, I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. Some of you here have been waiting on promises of God to come pass in your life for a long time. Some of you have been waiting for healings in your body. Some of you have been waiting on financial breakthroughs. Some of you have been praying for lost family members for eons. Don't give up. God is faithful. If he said it, he'll do it. This morning, I speak a peace over your hearts and over your minds and over your spirits. I speak comfort over you this morning so that you will have just a supernatural ability to wait for the timing of God. When it's talking about divine things, I'm telling you to tell you, good things happen to those that wait. May any temptation to do things our way be broken in Jesus' name. May any temptation just to handle it our own way be broken. May frustration be broken over your households because it seems that God is silent or the answer is not coming. May peace fill your homes this Christmas season because it's okay to wait on the word of God to be fulfilled. My final prayer over you this morning is that you would have a divine patience that comes from a trust in your God that his word is true and that he is faithful and he will perform what he said at the perfect time. In the mighty name and through the blood of Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to all of you and give you more peace than you can possibly handle. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. Love you dearly. Merry Christmas to you. Remind you there's a Christmas program tonight at 6. God bless you. Have a great day. And remember, wait for it.
Thanks so much for watching this podcast, or if you're just listening to it, thanks so much for being part of our church service today. I know the Word is so rich, and when we give attention to the Word comes in and does amazing things in our lives. You know, I feel in our church that recently we've just been like sitting on a powder keg of the Holy Spirit, and it's just ready to blow. Man, I see lives changed every single week in our church, and it's so exciting. I walk out of here sometimes, and it's like I've had a surreal experience of just seeing God move and do things that I only previously dreamed of. So I'm so glad that you're part of that today. And you know, the greatest decision you can ever make in life is to serve the Lord Jesus, to ask him into your heart, to make him the Lord of your life, to ask him to take away all the sin, all the shame, and all the guilt. If you'd like to pray with me right now and receive him into your heart, this can happen. You can pray right where you are, whether you're at home or you're at work or wherever you're listening to this. You can pray right now and ask the Lord into your life, and he can do something that no other man can do. He can bring peace, he can bring salvation, he can bring healing. So if you're ready for that, just pray with me right now. Say these words, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin, that you wash away the guilt, that you wash away the shame. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Come into my life, be the Lord of my life, and help me to serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can say amen where you are. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone watching. I ask that you bring healing. I ask that you bring deliverance. I ask that you bring peace of mind. Lord, for those struggling with family problems, Lord, I ask that you come in and speak peace to the storm that's going on in their lives right now. And Lord, we love you, we bless you, we thank you today for who you are. Thank you for the audience listening and watching today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So follow us online, follow us on our social media pages. Thanks so much for listening, and till next time, walk with the Lord, be blessed, grow in the Word, and go forward in Him.